I'm going to read from the Bible now, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
So today's Bible reading, as Stephen said, comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 32 to 35. And it will be up on the screen behind me. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" So the second Bible reading that we'll be having today is John 11, verses 25 to 27, and that will be up on the screen behind me. "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she replied. 'I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. You might be here today and you might be thinking, like my friend who was doing dishes with me one night after dinner, "Luke, I can believe that Jesus' death was important, but not his resurrection. Because, Luke, people don't rise from the dead." However, since the first Easter, over and over again, that has been the claim of Christianity. That in Jesus' death, something amazing, yes, did happen. But 3 days later, something wonderful also took place. He came back to life. You see, that for Christians, we believe the cross and the resurrection are a package, united pair. Romans 4:25 captures this by saying Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You see, at one level, the resurrection is like a certificate of authenticity showing that Jesus is God and that what he did on the cross was finished. It was effective. But if you're a collector of fine watches or wines or works of art or anything, in fact, authenticity and the certificate of that is only one part of what makes something so valuable. You see, in the resurrection, God's dealings with the world shifted gear. And this gear shift is what gives Christianity a great message of confidence. Confidence That's what I want to explore this morning. And that's what we saw and what unites all three of our Bible readings today. And I hope and pray that you will walk out of this room today confident based upon what the Bible has told us that Jesus is risen. And here are the three reasons for confidence. You'll see them on the screen. We'll walk through each of them. That you would have confidence to fear not. You would have confidence that Jesus intercedes, and you'll have confidence that you'll have a new body. Let's start at the first one. In the Matthew reading, we heard at the very start that Steam read for us, there was a phrase, a powerful phrase that is said twice. Maybe you picked it up. This is a phrase that kids want to hear when the lights go out and it's dark. The young man wants to hear it when his heart beats faster as he nervously approaches her to ask her on a date. The nurse wants to say it as she walks in the room holding the difficult results in her hand. The manager wants to hear it when they open their email wondering how did it go so wrong with the client. What is this phrase? What is so powerful? Do not be afraid. On Easter Sunday, the women at the empty tomb saw the angel but didn't see Jesus, and they were afraid and trembling and anxious to know where Jesus' body was. Seeing a divine being, it totally threw them off. And the angel says to them, do not be afraid. And then later on in that reading, Jesus himself says the same thing. Do not be afraid. This is a declaration that God has begun to make all things new. And in God's future, on the other side of death, fear need not apply for a position because he is risen. You see, in Jesus' resurrection, we see a disruption of how life normally works. These are words from Jesus who came through death, who has broken sin and evil and the grip that it has on you and the world. And because of him, we need fear not. But in the Matthew reading, there was another phrase that was twice repeated. It says, you will see him. Again, spoken to the women, they will see him. Not a memory, not a feeling. This is the claim that Jesus is a living human being whom we can relate to and who's aware of us. You know, my glasses help me make sense of the world. If I had them on, I'd be facing the other way and have no idea what's happening. But my glasses aren't the only thing I need to see life with and through. 23 years ago, I began to see life through the lens of the resurrection of Jesus. I began to have clarity that enabled me to see everything else clearly. Even though it is not perfect or ideal at the moment, I saw in the resurrection a glimpse into the renewal that will take place in the world, in my life, because Jesus is Lord of life and death. And on Easter Sunday, the resurrection zooms us in, focuses us in like a pair of glasses to see life, inviting us to see life through his resurrection. And yes, one day we will see him too, like those women did at the first Easter. You know, in The Wizard of Oz, the story, Dorothy is desperate to get back to Kansas, I believe, where she lives. And there's this famous line that's repeated, and she says, there's no place like home. That's right. And then the very last page of the story, she says of her adventure, I'm so glad to be home again. And then Frank Baum, I believe you pronounce his name, he finishes his novel with those two famous words in literature that you see all over the place, the end. Now, that's a fitting way to end the book. But the resurrection of Jesus says death will never be able to say the end about you. And yes, we too can say there is no place like home, a home in God's renewed world that will have no end, where we'll see the risen Jesus with our own eyes, where we will not be afraid. And because of Jesus, we can have the confidence right now that we need not fear, for life is in his hands and there is no end. Confidence to fear not. Secondly, confidence that Jesus intercedes. You might say, and it's a good question, well, if Jesus is alive, why can't I see him now? Wouldn't it have made more sense if Jesus kind of just stuck around on the earth and traveled, you know, for the last 2,000 years to all the different places? It's a good question, but it has an even better answer. You see, because Jesus has a body, he can only be in one place at a time. So Jesus said, I'll pick the best place to be in. I have a friend who's a doctor with an AFLW team. And I said to him, whoa, you must have seen so much of the game being a doctor and everything. And he said, last season, he says, actually, I saw nothing. He said, my job was to review concussion footage. And he said, I had to go away from the ground to a little room with a monitor. And I stood there watching over and over. Every time someone got a knock, I went, had to review it and then tell them what to do. But you see, for him to do his job, he had to be in the best place. And the best place was not on the ground or watching on the side of the ground. The best place for him was away from it. And the best place for Jesus in physical form is not actually walking the footy grounds of life, but to be in the perfect place, watching, speaking, interceding for you before God the Father's throne. Yes, God is close. His Spirit lives in us. God is present in all places at all times. We affirm this. But in Romans, the Romans reading, the resurrected Jesus who has a body is not here, but next to God. And he's personally approaching God for you. Jesus is busy and alive, interceding before God for you. This is what it says. Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. The right hand means to have authority and privilege and closeness. And Jesus uses his position as the eternal Son to appeal to God for you and me with his wounds and his body and his life. Right now, Jesus is standing before God the Father, speaking the benefits of his saving life and justifying death to God on your behalf. That means even though you can't see him, like my doctor friend had, that everyone had confidence that he was doing his job and they couldn't see him on the ground. We too can have confidence that our world and your life is not out of control. It is under the careful control of the one who is still doing his sin-defeating work and applying the benefits of his life to you. You see, if you've ever felt forgotten or unseen or unheard or afraid because of the resurrection, remember this. Right now, at 10:31 today, Jesus brings your name before God the Father. Because of Jesus' resurrection, he is in the best place to apply the benefits of his death to you, and you can have confidence in his location and his work for you. Confident to fear not, confident that Jesus intercedes, and finally, confident that you will have a new body. Remember the story of Cinderella, going from a poor maid, cleaning floors, washing dishes, to a princess. It's a glorious reversal of fortunes, isn't it? But you know, to believe in the resurrection of Jesus is to have an even greater reversal of fortune. How? Well, simply Jesus goes first, preparing not only a place, but a body for you. In our John reading, we had Jesus went to the funeral of a dear friend. And in the wider picture of that story of Jesus, he cried, he felt grief, he had compassion. And so, yes, Jesus does know just how painful life can be. He lived and walked through it all. But he did more than just offer a shoulder. Jesus made the claim to his friend's sister who had passed away, if we're joined to him, not even death can kill us. Now, you've got to ask the question, is that just a very cruel way to comfort a grieving sister? Well, the answer is no, because Jesus is actually good upon his word. As I look out here today, I don't know how you feel about you and your body, but I would wager that there are things you'd like to change or things that you find hard to look at or talk about when you stand in front of the mirror. Maybe your body has let you down through sickness or injury or aching or aging, or your outside and inside don't feel like they match. But on Easter Sunday, here's the confidence to walk out of here with. No matter how you feel about your body, because of the resurrection of Jesus, your body gets another go at it. Jesus will walk with you and through you in this life with all the suffering that your body will endure as it falls apart, and then give you a new body like his. Not another body, another go to struggle through life, but to share in Jesus' life after death. There's a precious verse many Christians hold to at the end of the Bible in the last book, and it's from Revelation 21, almost the very last chapter, and it gives us a picture of the resurrected Jesus and his body and what he will do to your new body. It says this: he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order has passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. But just think about that for a moment. Jesus will do that with his real-life human hand, and his arm will go around you with his real-life human arm, and your new resurrected body and his resurrected body, you'll feel his heartbeat as he holds you and wipes away your tear. You'll probably feel his breath blowing on your hair at that moment too. And the real you can be fully alive when you get your new body after death, where pain and frustration have no place. And until then, we look at Jesus and his body. We don't look at a blueprint. We don't look at a prototype. We look at a person. And we can confidently say, as we read and see Jesus in the pages of the gospel accounts of his life and the New Testament, and in fact, the whole of scriptures, that's our future. He's gone first. I will follow in his footsteps. And because of that, his resurrection gives us confidence that behind us and in us and with us is the resurrected power of the resurrected Jesus. And I reckon those three things are why you and me today and every day can have confidence. In the John reading, Jesus asked Mary a question. He said, "Mary, do you believe?" And I wonder, as I look out this morning, how would you answer that question? Just imagine Jesus stands in front of you right now. Do you believe? Maybe you want to keep thinking more about the claims of the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, these are big, life-changing, life-altering claims that Christianity makes. I'd love to talk more. If someone brought you along this morning, a friend or a family member, I'm sure they would love nothing more than to have a coffee and talk through this as well about who Jesus is. So keep exploring. Maybe you're here and you've heard all this, and you think, I'm a bit like Mary, actually. I want to say what Mary said. What did she say? "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come in the world." Maybe you've never said that, but you want to. Well, in a moment I'll pray and you can echo the words that I say, but it's simply confessing Jesus did die for me, for my sin, but he's risen. He's my risen Lord. And from that moment I can have confidence. And that confidence will grow. But I also know that many of you here believe all this. Well, let me give you something from the Matthew reading to think through. When the women saw Jesus, they did two things. They fell down at his feet, clasped them, it said, and worshipped him. So here's my encouragement. Keep clinging to Christ and worshipping him. Keep clinging to Christ and worshipping him. Your life counts for eternity. The best is yet to come. Your home is secure. You have purpose and meaning. Even as you struggle, weary pilgrim, so cling to him and worship him. Why? Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. And on the basis of that, you can have confidence too. I'm going to pray for us. And if you've never echoed Mary's words, why not say this with me just quietly? And you too can have that confidence and hope in the resurrection of Jesus. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God who has come in the world to be my Savior. I confess that you lived and died for me, and that you rose, forgiving, making me new. Give me confidence and hope in you today that you are my Lord. Father, for those who know this and echo this, may we continue to cling to you and worship you, having our eyes fixed on the person and work of Jesus all of our days, and may today be the solid reminder that you are the Messiah. You are the Lord. Thank you that you rose from the dead to justify us, doing what we could never do to make us just as you are. May you be given the glory. Amen.